All right, let's go ahead and have the screen put down, please. And I'll get my microphone on for you, gentlemen. And I would like to take some time before we get into the message this evening to talk about Easter, as we planned. So we are going to hand out a piece of paper to all of you, and so you can have an idea of the theme and what you see up on the screen there. The theme is Christ Lives in Me, that we like to focus on for Easter this year. And we're going to take some time here to kind of explain what we'd like the day to look like, because this is something we want to be an outreach to our community. We're very thrilled with what the Lord has done with the Christmas Hope Festival, but there's other excellent times in the year to monopolize upon. That the community, of course, is just a little more open to thinking about God in their lives. And Easter, of course, is one of them. And so we've been hoping for you know, a year or two or three to really be able to do more with Easter. And hopefully this year can be the year. We'll see what we can get done in 5 weeks, okay? So Christ Lives in Me is the theme that the Lord's led us to. And you'll see on the handout that you're getting a little more of what the day will look like. And in fact, guys, could I have one of those? Because I forgot to grab one. Please. Thank you. Because this is my notes, too. All right. Now, as you know, we're not a big church, and we can't do a whole lot, but with the Lord's help, we're going to do what we can, and even for Easter. And so this year, on March 31st, we would really like to be able to take the Sunday morning service and do something different with it. Do as it says there, a dramatic presentation on the power of Christ's resurrection. Well, what is that? We want to treat the day differently. Of course, we will have preaching, but we would like to have a little bit of drama here at Easter, and I don't know that I like that word. In fact, I may use a lot of words tonight. I'm not sure I like, but you just bear with me. But we are going to try to have a little bit of acting this year that will convey the story of the resurrection maybe a little more clearly to some of our visitors. So it'll be a little different, but I think it's an excellent tool that we can employ at certain special times in the year to communicate a message. Of course, at the festival, Christmas Hope Festival, we have live acting, but you're not speaking. The video is doing the is communicating the message for you. But however, some of you will be up here on the platform and speaking some memorized lines. So hopefully that won't scare us away, but it'll be a wonderful day and the Lord will bless. So let me just read that paragraph there. This Easter, we hope to represent different people who came into contact with Christ. There will be Caiaphas and Annas, Pilate and Pilate's wife, a Roman soldier, Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and Lazarus. Each character will share what Christ was to them and how his empty tomb affected the rest of their lives. After the presentation, we want a time for several individuals in our church family to succinctly share their own testimonies of how Christ has affected their lives now and for eternity. Of course, that is in keeping with our theme of thankfulness, remembering, and declaring. And so it'll be a unique time, I believe, of celebration for all of us at Easter, but also a special time to invite friends, loved ones, contacts that we've been working on to be able to get a clear gospel message to them again. And Lord willing, with a little bit of effort trying to get the word out into our community more, we'll even see some just generically come in or organically come in from the community and join us that day. A lot of churches are doing things on Easter morning, so there's competition, you could say, but we're not worried about that. We believe the Lord will bring us some people that he wants us to have and minister to. And if nothing else, it's going to be a special day for us to praise the Lord. And so I'm really excited about Easter. So the schedule for the day, we were a little unsure of how to do Easter. It is a fifth Sunday, but we'll stick to the schedule that you see on the paper, Lord willing. We will have the 9 o'clock
breakfast buffet, and I thank many of you who have signed up already, and you're already going with that. You know what to do, and so we'll have that at 9, and then the morning service at 10:45, and then we will have an evening service at 6 o'clock. It'll be a full day, but we hope you will take part in all of it, and it'll be a special day of praising the Lord. Now, zeroing in on the morning service a little bit more, we would like to have, of course, the dramatic presentation, the acting or whatever you want to call it. And a part of that, let's kind of break it down into these things. So I'd love if the Lord would enable us to have some kind of video that would go along with our theme for this year that would start off the morning and really set the stage, helping us all to see what has happened for Christ up to the point of the resurrection. So he ministered to many people, miracles, kind of the story that we communicate at the Christmas Hope Festival, maybe referencing the prophecies a little bit, but he was born and ministered, and then he died, and the reason why he died, but then he rose again. And so that will kind of set the stage then for us to be able to have these individual characters come up and share what they might have felt and thought and were experiencing as they saw Christ on the cross, as they saw the empty tomb many years ago. So, Lord willing, we'll be able to put together a little video to start the service off, and then we'll have the live acting. There'll be some special music scattered throughout it, and then personal testimony time. And and then gospel preaching and invitation to finish off the morning. Here to give you just a little visual of what we like to do up here. Lord willing, we'll bring the festival tomb out in the barn. We'll bring it right up here, have that over here. And then we're thinking we could probably put some of these risers together and have a structure going up to the cross. And so we could kind of incorporate the cross back there as part of the scene or the larger scene. So we'll see how that comes together. That's just some of my concepts so far. But some of the acting will be done over here, and then we'll have room for music and other things going on this side. So during the personal testimony time, what might work great for us is having a few of you that we will select, and that you will think ahead on of what you'll write down, what you're planning to say, and we'll have you probably stand right in this area. We have a cordless mic that we could just easily pass around, so hopefully the folks can hear us very well. All right, on the back of the sheet, just has some goals listed there. We really want to celebrate. The day is a day of celebration of Christ's resurrection, the power that we get to experience through the fact that he is victorious and is alive in our lives. Christ lives in me. It's a wonderful truth. And we do want it to be a day of reaching out to our community during a very opportune time. And we want to create an opportunity to challenge our contacts, our friends, our loved ones with the truth of the gospel. So we are putting this together so that there's something to invite them to. There's something for you to hand to your loved one, your friend, your contact, and say, I'd love for you to join me on Easter if you don't have plans or whatever. Even if you do have plans, come anyway. We'd love to have you. But we're creating an opportunity for you to utilize in your personal witness. And then this is just an ongoing effort to develop something that we can use for the glory of God at Easter time. So we'll see how the Lord leads with it all. But here's some of the needs that you can be praying about and get involved in. Volunteers, we'll need some ladies, of course, busy with the kitchen things, and some of you are already going at that. We'll have to have a plan together for setting up the fellowship hall, how we want it set up. And probably a little bit of decoration back there. Some of it's already been happening. I'm thrilled at that. But then also, as we all bring in our food like we did 2 years ago, we need to have some organization to that. So there will have to be some folks receiving that food and knowing where it's supposed to go on the tables. Don't ask me about all that. I don't know. I don't have the answers to that, but those ladies will take care of it very well once we
organize that team together. I think what I'm going to do is we will get some folks to head that up, and then I'll have a sign-up sheet that if you want to be helping in the kitchen or receiving food or helping with the decorations team there, you can sign up on the sign-up sheet and volunteer to be a part of that. So the second one is we do need some folks to give themselves to getting this scene set. So we'll have the main structure there with the tomb and all this, and we just have to make it look pretty. Flowers, palm branches, I don't know, whatever. But we'll need some folks that would just like to give themselves to that a little bit before Easter. And then, of course, there's many other things going on behind the scenes. The ones who will be acting will be memorizing their lines. There's some technology things to think about and music practice to do. So we have a lot to pray about. And it's an exciting thing that we can get involved in and do for the glory of God. Some quick to-do things just to keep in mind. First of all, folks, let's be praying. Let's be praying, just like the Christmas Hope Festival. We need God's help. And we need wisdom in something like this. We need the Lord to provide the people to come, the attendants, and the Holy Spirit to convict in their hearts. And we need health. There will be some people with key roles that we most likely won't have backups for, and so that the Lord would keep us healthy and strong and able to serve him that day. Also, to be done is to finish signing up for the breakfast buffet and filling in all those slots. I think some even went on there more today, so that needs to be gotten done, almost complete, but that's great. We need to plan the platform decorations, memorize our scripts, practice music, write out personal testimonies if you're selected to do that, hospitality and guest gift bags. We do have some good ideas for a gift bag for any guests that come that day, and those will be at the Welcome Center, and so we have to get some plans together for that, some technology things to think about, invitations and advertising, so we'll have some, I'm thinking probably half sheet size invitations like our festival invitations that will be hopefully in your hands by next Sunday, and more. So that's kind of what we're looking at for Easter Sunday. I'm excited. If you have any questions, certainly ask me. Be praying, and we'll be talking to a few of you about some of the needs and getting some leadership organized. Maybe even tonight, next throughout the week, we'll be in touch. Okay? Praise the Lord. All right, take your Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 14. Now, I have to admit, tonight is kind of odd for me. First of all, sharing all that about Easter. But then what I'm going to share with you from the Word of God is also very different for me. I will have some things on the screen for you, and I don't normally do that. I certainly would not be comfortable sharing like this in itinerant, back ministering in itinerant evangelism. This just isn't the thing for that. But here, this is a different thing, and we're teaching and moving forward as a church family. And so the Lord has given me some burdens that I want to share with you, and it has come through multiple different ways over the last several months. I think a lot of it started in Pastor's heart, and he was thinking about some things. I would say, though, conversation between the two of us has gone back a year or more on some of these things that we're going to discuss tonight. But even in the last few months, it's been becoming more pointed in my mind and a burden growing there. And so tonight, I would like us to consider a personal evangelism brand. We'll explain what I mean by that here in a second, but I want us to talk about evangelism tonight. Pastor and I have been talking and burdened and praying and talking with others about what can we do more to reach the lost? How can we do it more effectively? How can we communicate the love of God and the life transformation that has taken place in our own lives to others that God is bringing across our paths. I love to read stories of real soul winners. What is a real soul winner? I don't know. It's somebody that the Lord has gifted, yes, but it's just someone who's available. Someone who had an opportunity to share with someone else who was seeking, and there was fruit from that. Not necessarily a salvation decision, but there was a good encounter. One that you say, God was in that. That was a divine appointment. I love to read stories of divine appointments. I love to hear stories of divine appointments. And we sometimes are able to share things like that that we encounter. And that is just so exciting to me. And I hope it is to you, too, as we testify of those things. I would love to hear it so much more. How about you? I would love if every Wednesday night there's a new story. I would love if there are encounters happening in our personal lives with other individuals on a regular basis. And they may not result in salvation decisions every month or all the time, but God can do anything. But they are definite divine encounters, divine appointments. I don't know about you, but when I get to experience one of those, I just walk away so thrilled. That was so exciting. I wouldn't want to do anything else right then. That is something I could go for on a daily basis. Being able to share with someone else, connect with someone else, and then share with them things that are much deeper than surface level, things that are on the spiritual realm, things that have to do with God and eternity and what the Bible has to say about who we are and who he is. Being able to talk about those things and connect with someone else who is seeking about those things is just such a thrill. And I hope you have found it to be a thrill in your life too. If not, I hope you will learn to find it to be a thrill. And tonight, I would like to dive into this subject of a personal evangelism brand a little bit. And as I mentioned earlier, I'll probably use some words tonight that I don't know that I'm 100% comfortable with, but they do communicate what I'm trying to say. When I use the word brand, that is a... Is that a word we find in the Bible? Is it? No, it's not. It's more of a secular word, right? It's a secular term. It's not a bad term. It's a good term, but it's not something we use in church normally. And there is a movement out there that I believe we need to be very careful about, a movement, especially in larger churches, where they begin to structure their ministry very much around a business model. The pastor starts acting more like a CEO than a pastor, a shepherd. And we have to be careful about those things. But nonetheless, there are many parallels between trying to operate an organization, even in the ministry realm, and trying to operate an organization in the business realm. There's leadership needs, there's responsibilities, there's authority structures, there's all kinds of things that do correlate. And so it really helps us understand some things that God has called us to do when we illustrate it with other things in life. And so I will use some terms tonight like that. Developing a personal evangelism brand. Finding God's plan for you in evangelism. We have corporate evangelism. We've called it Send the Light Day in the past, where we make a corporate effort to go out with the Word of God and show the love of God. But that is good, but that is not, I believe, where we're going to see the most fruit. Where we're going to see the most fruit in evangelism is on the personal, individual level. We've called it top fives in the past. On those contacts that God is bringing into your lives on a regular basis as you are out in public, wherever, whatever you're doing, that's where there's going to be most impact, and that's where there's going to be most fruit. That's where the divine appointments are most going to happen, on the personal level. And so as Pastor and I have talked and prayed and thought more, what direction does God have for our church? We realize that we have to emphasize the personal evangelism of our church more. And we have to help one another develop
an ability to be more effective on that level. A personal evangelism brand. You talk to me for a little bit. What is a brand? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of a business has a brand?
An association.
Okay? It's a collection of association, things we would associate with that entity. Yeah? What else? What are some of the things we would associate with an entity?
A logo.
Great, okay, a logo. That would be, I think, the main thing I would think of when it comes to a brand. It's what icon do they have? What, when you see that shape or whatever, what is it that makes you think of them? A logo is very important for a brand. Yeah?
Something they do well.
Okay, so a character trait. I'm not going to emphasize character traits here, but yeah, it could be a character trait. There is an honest company, and they have that right in their slogan. We are the most honest roofers in Elizabethtown, or whatever. honest roof work, or whatever they would say. So it could be a character trait that over time it develops their brand further and that recognition. Yes, Carol?
Name.
A name, yeah. Okay, absolutely. So Brubaker Refrigeration. Okay, or Faith Bible Church. That's a name, and it's part of our brand. Okay, it's what we're identified as. So it could be a name, it could be a logo. Here's a little example. Okay, many of you know that I do some web and graphic design on the side, and I'll have a number of clients every year. And one that I worked with recently was Harvest Baptist Church in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And so I put together this as part of the project. What is this? This is what you would call a style guide. And within here is their brand, okay? The brand that we developed together. And so this would be important, right? Colors. I know this is small. You can't see it very well. But here's all their colors. This is the colors we started with to begin to build out what they're represented as. Here on the next page is all the fonts we went ahead and selected. Okay, we have fonts for headers, and we have fonts for normal text, and they're different. And that's important because if you're going to look sharp, you got to follow certain rules like that where there's clear balance and everything. So there's their fonts, okay, and the information for the fonts. And then what's on the next page here? Okay, this is a more fun one, I would say. Part of the style guide is the logo. Okay, so there's the colored versions of the logo. Here's the black and white versions of the logo. And so a style guide, it's very helpful in the design industry to have all of that together, and that's all part of your brand. It's what you're identified as. And you know what? Those things take time. It may seem like it's not that important, but it is very important when you're trying to get to the end goal. You have to establish certain things so that people can recognize who you are. So a brand is very important. And as I think of personal evangelism, I begin to realize, you know, God has given each one of us a brand, a personal brand. Whether we have taken the time to recognize it or not, there are things that are unique about each one of us that set us apart from the person sitting next to us or on the other side of a room. We each have uniqueness about us. God has made you unique for a purpose, a very, very important and high calling. He's made you unique. In Psalm 139, I think it's up there on the screen, there it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You see, each one of us are unique. So God has made us into something special. Furthermore, he wants us to bear fruit in this life. Okay, if you have a business and it has a brand, it's unique, it's set apart from the others because there's their icon, there's their colors, and I can recognize that as I drive by quickly on the road. Oh yeah, there's the roofing company. God has made us unique. But in addition to that, that business or that organization has some goals, don't they? If it's a business, they want to make money. And by the way, that's a good thing, because it helps all of us when businesses make money in the area. And so their goal is to make money and serve their customers. Their goal is to be prosperous, to bear fruit. And God has similar goals for us. He wants us to bear fruit, right? He is in the farming business, okay? He wants us to bear fruit. And it says in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And so there's other verses we could look at to reference and realize God wants us to be fruit bearers in this life. And so he's made us unique. He wants us to be productive. And he has promised that the fields are already white to harvest. John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. What a wonderful promise there. So he's made us unique for a purpose. He wants us to bear fruit, and there is a harvest ready to pick. He's promised it.
So how can we be effective? What tools has God given us to employ? Are we employing those tools? Are we putting a plan in place and approaching evangelism in a practical, strategic, purposeful way?
There are some of the questions that I've had and been discussing with Pastor, and it's been very, very encouraging. A personal evangelism brand. So let me ask you a little bit. Think about what makes you unique. Think about what tools has God given you. Now, maybe I'm stepping out on a limb here a little bit, but I think this will be fun, okay? Let's start with me, all right? How about you? You tell me a little bit about what makes me unique. Not to lift me up or anything, but not character traits. Let's stay away from character traits, but what does Dan Brubaker do? Pastor. Okay. Yeah, excellent. I didn't even think of that one. But yeah, that's unique about Dan Brubaker. You know what? That's part of my personal evangelism brand. It is. A little blue truck. What else? Milk and cows. Okay, that's what I'm known for. Every morning he gets up and he milks cows. Okay?
Play the trumpet.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to someone else. Okay, how about Steve? What makes Steve unique? I mean, what does he do? Not character traits, but what does he actually do? Okay, he's an electrician. He also does plumbing. He also does construction, okay? So those are things that are unique to that individual. All right, what about Pastor? You what?
A bigger little blue truck.
Yep. Okay, what else? Okay, he's a preacher. He's a pastor. That's part of his brand. That's who he is. That's who God's made him. How about Wyoming? Yeah, we would think of Wyoming when we think of pastor. Would we think of football? Yeah, a little bit, football. Hunting, okay. That's pastor's brand. Whether he likes it or not, that's what he's known as now. You know, that's who he is. And God has made that unique and special. Should we do another one? How about David back there? What makes David unique? What does he do? Okay, good. So he's a twin. That's unique. He shares it with someone else, but it's unique. Yep. Disc golf. Okay. All right, we know that. And Frank, I don't know how much you may talk to Andrew on a weekly basis, but Frank knows that about Andrew, or David and Andrew. Because that's part of his brand. That's what he does. That's what he's known as. What about Zach? I'm picking on all my DVS guys.
He's a therapist.
Okay, he's a therapist. Very good. That's what he does. That's what he's known as. Ezekiel over there, what does he do? Carpentry, cabinet carpentry. Yeah.
Training works.
Training to be an Amishman, yeah. Okay. So these are things that these people do. I'm sorry if I picked on you, but I hope you're okay with it. That's their brand. That's what's unique about them. That's the colors, the logo, the fonts that they are. And I think each one of us need to take some time in life to examine what we are. Examine the brand that we have come to be and see what is there that God has given us to use in the greatest commission we've ever had. What is the Great Commission? The Great Commission, let's see, do I have a slide? No, I don't. You know what it is. In Matthew chapter 28, for sake of time, let's not turn there. Wow, it's going fast. Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And that is what Jesus said as he was leaving his disciples alone. The crucifixion had already happened, the resurrection had already taken place, and those were his last words. Now go do it, was basically the idea there. The Great Commission. And does that still stand for us today? Amen. Absolutely it does. Folks, this is what we're supposed to be all about. Okay? Now, maybe you want to argue a little bit and say, well, don't we glorify God, first of all? Yes, we do. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so we want to glorify God ultimately, but what is the best way to do that? To do the command that he gave us here, to be fruitful, to evangelize the world and help them see the love of God as well. There's many things we can invest our lives in, folks, but I believe if we look at the Bible, we're going to find this is the main deal. This is the highest calling. This is what we're supposed to be most active in. Yes, we're supposed to support our families, and yes, we're supposed to invest in the next generation and all these other things, but right there, it's very, very important. The Great Commission. And so are we taking all that God has given us and accomplishing his will here is the idea.
We're in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 25, it says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it will mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able to with 10,000 meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men casteth out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In this passage, as Jesus was making his way to the cross, eventually he would come to that point, and there was kind of a time where the multitudes were following him, but some were beginning to turn away. And he was challenging them, saying, hey, if you're serious about this, then take up your cross and follow me, because that's where I'm headed. If you're serious about this, then you better count the cost. You're going to build a tower, you better know how much it's going to cost you. You're going to go to war, you better know what you need, because there is something very valuable that we have,
He referenced salt, which was very valuable to them. There is something very valuable that we have, a high calling from God, a message from the Lord, a very valuable calling to give ourselves to. And it's one we better be all about. And it better keep, we better make sure it has its value there for others. And so here in this passage, I see, first of all, a total commitment. There in the first few verses, verse 26, he said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and his wife and children and brother and his sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." God, or Jesus, was communicating to them, you've got to be all in on this. You've got to be totally committed here. Or are you going to turn away like so many others are, or are you going to follow me? So there's a total commitment that he was calling for. And yes, folks, there needs to be a total commitment in our lives. We need to be sold out for the Lord alone and in love with him and doing his will, not our own in life. There needs to be a total commitment. But also we see here there's some careful planning happening, right? So it references the tower. The guy building the tower, he needs to sit down first and count the cost. The guy going to war, he needs to make sure he knows his plan. And so there's careful planning. There's total commitment. And then also, finally, we see there's what I would call market value. All right? References the salt there. And the salt has value. But if it loses its savor, does it still have value? Could you take it to market? Could you sell it to other people? No, the market value is gone. And so we better make sure there's still that value there. We better make sure that our testimony before the world doesn't lose its savor, that it makes a difference. It says, "Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned?" And so as I look at this passage, I begin to realize, you know, I need to be sold out for the Lord. And I better be carefully planning how I'm going to do that. And I better make sure I am offering to the world who is watching me something of real value. Now, all of us here would agree, there's no debate, the gospel has real value. Life-changing power. But you know what? They need to see that. They need to hear that. We need to get that message to them that there is some good market value here in this book. It'll change your life too, like it has changed me. Christ lives in me, and he can change your life too. And so Christ was presenting to those people, there's some important things here to consider.
And it helps me to see more of what I believe is very important for each one of us in our lives, that we work to develop what I would call our personal evangelism brand. What has God created you as? What tools has he put at your disposal to be utilizing in your great commission? I want to go finally to some practical application here.
How can we develop a personal evangelism brand for each one of us and put it to good use and see fruit? How can we go about this way of thinking, which is good thinking in our minds because it's emphasizing the Great Commission more in our lives and
practically carrying it out?
How can we do this on a practical level?
Well, first of all, I believe it starts with this. You must be praying. You must be praying.
I was so encouraged at the men's retreat. I see there's a slide I didn't get in here. It's too bad. I don't think it is in here. But I was so encouraged by Pastor Corns at the men's retreat because we asked him a question: what can we do for evangelism? How can we make impact on other people that we meet through personal evangelism?
And he gave us some wonderful things to think about, and that's really how these practical points came together for me as I was listening.
And the most important thing to emphasize, first of all, is, folks, we've got to be bathing every day, every time we have an opportunity out in public in prayer. If we're in that mindset of prayer, Lord, give me someone to talk to. Give me someone to make an impact on, then we will see souls instead of people. And we must be praying. I want to challenge you. Are you praying on a regular basis, Lord, lead me to people? Lord, give me divine appointments. Lord, help me to be ready. Help me to see them as people who are needy and need to hear your message. It says in Psalm 126, verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's speaking of an individual that had a real heart for this, what we're talking about here. And if they were going forth with tears, they're certainly calling out to God in the process. Prayer is a vital part of this. If we were, we won't be able to for sake of time, but if we were to go over to Acts chapter 8, you'll see that wonderful story of Philip the evangelist and that divine appointment that he had with the Ethiopian eunuch. What a wonderful, wonderful story of how God led an individual to meet another individual. By the way, in that leading, in Philip's time of moving out to where the Ethiopian eunuch was, there was a lot of communication going on between him and the Lord. The Holy Spirit said, do this, now do that. And so there was prayer taking place and communication with God, and that is so vital in our lives too if we're going to see souls, folks. And Philip had that excellent opportunity to lead a person to the Lord because he was communicating with God. So you must be praying. On a practical level, folks, if we're going to be developing an effective personal evangelism brand, we've got to bathe it in prayer. But then second, I want you to see that we must be prepared. You've got to get prepared. And I love this about Pastor Corns because he challenged us saying, guys, you always have to have tracks on you. And I'll be the first to admit in this room, I don't do a good job of that. And my reason is really dumb, because often I don't have a pocket right here. And that's the best place to put tracks so they don't get bent up that I've found. Anything else I've tried, it doesn't work. And I don't have a lot of shirts, except for my winter garb, that has pockets there, okay? In the summertime, when I'm most out meeting people, I have to figure out a better way. But, boy, I was challenged with that. You're right, I've got to be prepared. I've got to have tracks, and tracks are such a vital tool in this process. But it's not the only tool. It's great, but again, I'm challenging you, think about your brand. Not just your logo, or whatever you want to liken the track to. Not just one little thing. There's a whole representation you need to give to people, because you are a unique individual. And I'm thankful for the God's Simple Plan of Salvation tracks and other tracks that we have back there, but here's what Pastor Corns had, a track that was unique to him. A personal evangelism brand, and a tool that he could use that was special from everyone else, that when he brought that out, he could say, it was a picture of a painting he did on the front. Hey, can I share with you a piece of art that I did? I'm an artist, and I just like to give my work out to people, let people, I forget exactly his spiel, but that was part of his personal evangelism brand. He had a track that was unique to him. What a novel idea. Of course, I've heard that before. Frank Fiorentino is working on one, and others have done that. It's an excellent thing. And we, I believe, could utilize that to great success. And so I would like to present it to you. I'd like to build you one. I'd like to help you design the track that you need for personal evangelism. So you must be prepared. Next thing here, you must be public. You must be public. We, Pastor and I have talked about this one a lot. If we're going to have divine encounters with people, we've got to be around people. And studying in office is good, and that's necessary, or whatever else you want to put fill in that blank. But if it's not public, you're not going to have the opportunities.
On a very rare occasion, someone will wander into the church, and I'll meet them at the door, and I'll have opportunity then. But folks, I want to be a whole lot more public than I am if I can meet people and have divine appointments. What about you? Now, maybe you're already in a situation where you are public a lot and you interact with people, but I tend to think that's not us. I tend to think that most of us are at home or we're locked into our schedules, and there's not that freedom of just meeting people there most of the time. I would like that freedom in my life. And so that causes me to step back and say, whoa, I have a lot of things to consider then about what all I do. And how can I connect with people more?
You must be public.
And so each of us must create ways to consistently meet people in a setting where conversation is natural. And your way is going to be different than the person next to you. But we do have to be public.
There's a lot more I could go into this. I do think that using a business to share the gospel can be an excellent thing.
If you are a business owner, a small business owner, you have control over that operation. Use it for the glory of God. You can use the thing that God has given you a talent for that is valuable. That product is valuable to other people. There's other people out there that want to buy that. And so you are already offering something of value to other people who are interested. And that's something that the world needs to see in us, that there's something valuable here to consider. And so we can even use things like physical goods to connect with others. I have several different business endeavors that I'm pushing at here and there as the Lord allows, and I want to see the Lord use the value that can provide to others to give them something that's truly valuable. How about you? So you may be thinking, I've thought I'd like to kind of start up a side hustle here with that, or I have an interest in this or that over there. See if God wants you to pursue that. Maybe you already have something. How can you use it to reach the lost? Now, that does bring me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that we have been considering in DBS lately, which has just been excellent. Just a reminder that we don't use the gospel for personal gain. So there's some fine lines to consider there, but there's some excellent opportunity that I believe God has given talents to people to use to share the gospel. What is your personal evangelism brand? Finally, I want you to see that you must be perceptive. On a practical level, if you're praying, you're prepared, you have your tools ready to go, you're out in the public, then you need to employ some perception. And what does that mean? Well, Pastor Corns gave an idea or gave an example of one time he noticed a guy who had on some cowboy boots. And so he struck up a conversation about those cowboy boots because there was something he related there to. He connected. And you folks know this. You understand this. But it's important. Learn to be more perceptive of your surroundings and what other people are doing and their interests. You may see a bumper sticker on somebody's car. Or you may see the rims they have on their car. I don't know what it may be, but you're like, you know what? I know what that is. I relate to that. And so, connection point. But that takes perception. And sometimes, if you're like me, then you struggle. You have your schedule. You're getting your job list done, and you're on your way, and you're just watching out for the trouble, okay? Trying to get through the day without any difficulty instead of slowing down and looking around and being perceptive of the needs, but also the connection points that I believe God is putting all around us all the time. We must be perceptive. So as you leave the room tonight, I want you to continue to dwell on these things. I want you to pray about what is the personal evangelism brand that God has given you, because it is there. And he has given each one of us tools that we should be carefully planning how we can effectively use them, how we can take those talents, those tools, that brand that each one of us is, and make it savorous, make it have market value, make it to be able to be presented to others to where they would say, I want that in my life. God has given each one of us things that we can use for that purpose. I don't know that most of us are doing that.
But we need to. We need to give it serious consideration. Furthermore, I want to tell you that it is a burden of mine to work with each one of you to help you develop your personal track. It may not be a track. It may be a track and a website. It may be a track and, I don't know, maybe a little keychain or something. But each one of us has things I believe God would say, I've given you that ability. And so take that, use it, figure out how you can use that in a special, unique way that will connect with other people. And I want to help you discover that. I would love to work together on that, and we'll build something that you can use. You don't come to me, and you may just find me knocking on your door someday saying it's time for you to develop your personal evangelism brand. As you leave the room tonight, there will be some ushers in the back with a little handout for you with some questions on it to help you get started in thinking, what has God given me and what can I use to share the gospel? Let's bow in prayer. Lord, I don't know what all this could lead to in the future, but it's certainly something you've burdened us for. And I know there's probably some in here who are thinking, boy, this sounds a little crazy. But Lord, I do believe you've given each one of us special things, a uniqueness about each one of us that connects with certain people, and you want to use us in those ways. And so, Lord, I do ask that you would challenge each one of us to seriously consider the work that you have done in our lives in the past that has molded us into who we are today so that we could be used for your glory. That we would seriously consider that, each one of us, and put in the effort, the careful planning to cause us to have value to somebody out there. Lord, we need your help in this. We need your wisdom. Truth is, as we work on this in each one of our lives, it will take a lot of work. But it is so rewarding when we have those divine appointments. So I pray you would burden us for those moments and burden us to be willing to make whatever investment it takes to get that business off the ground, to get that brand active so it can be seen by other people and they can see your love, your forgiveness, and the glorious truth of the gospel. We need your help, and we pray for it. In Jesus' name, amen.